The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
If you or a loved one is living with cancer, you probably have two focal points, how to rid yourself of it and how to prevent it from coming back. You'll get some terrific information today on Cancer Concepts and Compliments with Dr. James Belanger. We'll explore natural medicines which may enhance conventional therapies, share cutting-edge research, and offer insight on how diet and natural medicines can play an important role in treating and preventing cancer. The information presented herein is in no way intended as a substitute for medical counseling. Now, here is Dr. James Belanger.
Hello, welcome to Cancer Concepts and Compliments. I'm your host, Dr. James Belanger from the Lexington Natural Health Center in Lexington, Massachusetts. Today, I am going to talk about pancreatic cancer. This is a very important cancer to talk about because, unfortunately, the current treatment is not very good. It's definitely improved over the years, but unfortunately the survival is still very low and very few people are cured by that. So we need to improve the statistics and the results, and adding natural medicines to the conventional therapies, the chemotherapy treatments, might help improve that. So today I'm going to talk to you about all the research that's been done combining various natural medicines with the current conventional therapies for pancreatic cancer, what's been published so far, and the results. Many of them are animal studies, unfortunately. There's very few human studies where they've combined conventional therapies with natural medicines. But those few human studies have been very encouraging, and the animal studies are certainly very encouraging. And I hope anybody listening has some money, dedicate some more money to natural medicine research, and we could maybe get some better results with pancreatic cancer because the animal studies are very encouraging. But it's the fourth most common cause of cancer-related death right now, pancreatic cancer in men and women. It presents in it, and part of the reason for that is it presents in advanced stages in 80 to 90% of people. Advanced stages, and so that it's caught later, and that's why many people die from it, unfortunately. Only 16% are usually candidates for surgery. And 80% of those patients that even have the surgery still can relapse after having the surgery and even doing chemotherapy. Unfortunately, the cure rate is only 5%, for pancreatic cancer. And the median overall survival for patients with metastatic pancreatic cancer, if they don't get treatment, is 3 months. If they do get treatment, depending on the treatment, about a one-year survival is about 35%, maybe 40% in people. They live 1 year, 40%, and very few people live past 3 years if they have metastatic pancreatic cancer. But they have had improvements lately. Before, just the last few years, the survival rate was even lower. The two new chemotherapy drug regimens that have improved survival is gemcitabine and Abraxane. And the other drug combination is called FOLFIRINOX, which we'll talk a lot about. They've added those, and the survival rates have been better after 1 year. They used to use just a drug called GEMZAR, and they still do for people that are too sick to have more toxic chemotherapy regimens. The GEMZAR, 18 to 22% of patients would be alive after 1 year with GEMZAR. Now, when they've combined this GEMZAR drug with another drug called Abraxane, now those 1 year overall survival rates are around between 35 and 48%. And then there's this other drug regimen called FOLFIRINOX that's about 48% 1 year overall survival. But like I said, unfortunately, very few people survive past 3 years even with those regimens. Now, so what are some risk factors for pancreatic cancer? Well, the older population might be, that's one reason we're getting more older people now. People are living longer, and it is a condition usually of more elderly people. And it is on the rise, unfortunately. Pancreatic cancer is I expect it to maybe be the second cause of cancer-related death in 2030. I think I read that. So it's going on the rise. And one of it's because of more people living longer. But the more common reason why it's going up is obesity and high carbohydrate intake. Because there's a strong link between what's called metabolic syndrome and pancreatic cancer. Metabolic syndrome is basically a condition where your body produces too much insulin in response to carbohydrates. So if you wake up every morning, you have your toast and your bagel and your glass of juice and pancakes, and then you're eating, you know, pastas and breads and potatoes and this and that. You're doing that for years. And you're a little bit, you know, overweight and you're not exercising much, your body starts to produce too much insulin. And it overshoots, like it produces more insulin than it's supposed to. And this high circulating levels of insulin might stimulate the development of pancreatic cancer because there's insulin receptors, binding sites for insulin on pancreatic cancer cells. So they call it the metabolic syndrome, where a person has this high circulating levels of insulin and they tend to be more, you know, overweight in the middle, and they have high blood pressure and high fasting glucose levels and triglycerides are higher in the blood. That's the definition of it. Well, they've done a study in the diabetes care showing that patients are at higher rate for pancreatic cancer if they have metabolic syndrome. And then when they've actually looked at people that have pancreatic cancer and they compare those to people that don't, they typically eat more what's called high glycemic foods, foods that have a lot of starch or sugar that don't have a lot of fiber. So good thing to get those out of the diet. A lot of people are going more paleo now. Does seem to be a more healthy diet. Not, you don't have to eat a ton of meat, you know, just some small amounts of animal protein, nuts, seeds, lots of green leafy vegetables, and keep the grains more to a minimum, especially the grains that have no fiber. And those are mostly the man-made things, the white flour, the white pasta, and switching more to the higher fiber alternatives. There's also a link with preservatives and pancreatic cancer. Preservatives, especially those nitrates and nitrites that you'll see on cured meats, from lunch meats, bacon, hot dogs, that kind of stuff, is linked with pancreatic cancer. It mixes with your stomach acid and turns into something called nitrosamines, which are linked with that. So getting those things out of the diet would be important. And a lot of grilled meats, deep fried foods, all those things, I know, taste good, but the more we eat them, they contain these toxic substances called HCAs, heterocyclic amines, that are linked with pancreatic cancer and stomach cancers and other gastrointestinal-related cancers. Smoking also increases pancreatic cancer risk. Don't think of just smoking as increasing lung cancer. It increases many types of cancers, including pancreatic. So cutting that out. So those are some of the reasons why maybe pancreatic cancer is on the rise, and changing the diet might make a substantial difference. Okay, so there are two major drug regimens right now that are being used to treat metastatic pancreatic cancer. The first is called FOLFIRINOX, and it's actually composed of three different types of chemotherapy drugs. The first one is called oxaliplatin, and then there's another one called irinotecan, and another one called 5-FU. So it's three chemo drugs. That's why it's can be kind of hard on a person's body that's being used. And it has caused a substantial improvement in those one-year survival rates compared to the drugs that they used to use. Excuse me. There's also another regimen called gemcitabine and Abraxane, which is pretty comparable to its overall response rates and survival rates as the FOLFIRINOX. So this is basically these two regimens now. And a lot of doctors go with FOLFIRINOX, and people that are younger that have a good performance status, meaning that they're getting around, they can dress, eat, they have good energy levels, because it is a more toxic and harder regimen. So they usually give that to people that are functioning better. And Gemzar, Abraxane, they certainly can give to people that are functioning good, or they give to people that might be a little debilitated, a little more tired, not able to work as much. It's more gentle than this FOLFIRINOX. Then people that are doing really poorly, really can't leave the house, they're getting too fatigued, they might not be able to handle either one of those regimens, and they pick just a single drug instead of a combination of drugs. They use a drug called Gemzar alone a lot of times, or something called Zolota, which is an oral chemotherapy. But that's pretty much how they're picking the drugs. Say, okay, what's your performance status? Are you feeling pretty good? Are you able to do much? Well, I think you can handle FOLFIRINOX. Even though Gemzar Abraxane is pretty comparable in its overall response rate. There are some people that, you know, go on FOLFIRINOX and it doesn't help, or it helps for a little while and then the cancer progresses. And there's other patients that go on it and it helps greatly. Cancer shrinks down immensely and the response can last a long time, like over a year or something. Then there's people on the same side and the opposite, where they go on gemcitabine with Abraxane and they have a great response, works good for, you know, over a year or so or more. And other people that go on it and it doesn't work at all. And so is there a way to determine which regimen to start a person on? Because it's best to start a person on the most effective therapy than to start one that's not going to work so good, find out that cancer is getting worse, and then switching when you know, lost time that way. Well, there is a test, and there's research being done right now at Sloan Kettering on this, doing some laboratory tests to predict who's going to respond and who's not going to the regimen. So you use that information instead of picking necessarily just on performance status. And there's already been some data presented at the American Society of Clinical Oncology last year by Dr. Yu, looking at what's called gene expression profiling, where they take cancer cells actually out of the blood, because you can find cancer cells in the blood. I talked about that last week. If you didn't catch that show, I interviewed Dr. Ioannis Papasotiriou from a lab in Greece called RGCC, and we're talking about a test that they have in Greece where they take your cancer cells out of your blood and they test it. Well, doctors at Sloan Kettering have done something similar to that, where they have taken the cancer cells out of the blood, and then they check different genes, things in the cancer cells to predict who's going to respond to what chemo. So there is something, some testing that's available. RGCC in Greece has the test. It's available. Can be ordered, you know, anytime, where you send about 20 milliliters of blood and it goes off to Greece, gets there in a couple days, and there's like a anticoagulant to prevent it from clotting, and it's packed in some ice. And when they get it, they take the blood and they use this procedure called the OncoQuick procedure, where they take that blood and they spin it in like a centrifuge, and the cancer cells are bigger than red blood cells and most white cells, and they're certainly bigger than platelets, and they float on the top because there's a membrane in between that has little holes that allow the red cells to pass, many of the white cells, the platelets to pass, but not the cancer cells because they're bigger. So they float on top, and then they use certain antibodies to determine what are white blood cells and what are cancer cells. And it's a published procedure on finding cancer cells in the blood. It's called the OncoQuick. You can look that up. But that's what this lab in Greece, RGCC, does. And then they take those cancer cells, which are often what's called stem cells, cancer cells that can give rise to other cancers or other tumors elsewhere in the body. And they start to grow those cells. And once they grow them, they have enough cells to work with, and they start adding different chemotherapy drugs. So they'll add gemcitabine, Gemzar it's called. They'll add oxaliplatin. They will add Taxol or Abraxane drug, irinotecan, all the drugs that are used for pancreatic cancer. And after the end of 5 days, they measure how many cells were destroyed by that chemotherapy drug, how much cell death. And then they use that as one factor that they look at. And then, of course, you pick the drug that shows that it killed the cancer the best. and you don't use a drug that didn't kill the cancer very good. So that's one part of the test at RGCC. But they do another set of tests, too, to confirm that what they are seeing in this cell death assay is true. So they also measure things that the chemotherapy targets. So, for example, this Abraxane drug, which is one drug that they use for pancreatic cancer, it goes after something called tubulin. Tubulin is a something found in cells and cancer cells that helps pull apart the DNA, like a set of tubes that takes and yanks apart the DNA to give a copy of the DNA to another cell to replicate. So that's the target of taxane drugs like Abraxane, is to affect tubulin. Well, they measure tubulin expression in these circulating cancer cells. And there's research done that was published in the Journal of Surgical Research 2001 showing that if the pancreatic cancer cells have elevated levels of tubulin, that they're going to be more resistant to drugs like Abraxane. So that's one of those tests that predicts, is Abraxane the best drug to pick or another drug? So you look at that, you look at cell death pathways. Another thing, for example, I mentioned there's a drug called oxaliplatin that's often used for pancreatic cancer. Well, they'll test to see if oxaliplatin killed the cancer cells in the lab. That's one test they'll do. But they'll also measure things that lead to resistance to platinum drugs and see if the cancer is making those things. So platinum drugs like oxaliplatin create damage to the DNA. Well, one thing that cancer cells can do is they can fix themselves. They can repair the damage. And the better they are at repairing the damage, the more resistant they will be to the platinum drugs. So RGCC in Greece measures repair enzymes. There's one called DNA methyl transferase. There's something called glutathione S transferase. These are things that are involved with the repair or the detoxification of platinum drugs that the cancer cell uses to become resistant. Another drug that's often used is one called 5-FU. That's part of the FOLFIRINOX pathway. And again, it has a target. It targets something in a cancer cell called thymidylate synthase. If the cancer cell is highly expressing that, then that will lead to resistance to 5-FU, because if there's too much of that for the 5-FU to inhibit, the cancer makes excess amounts, then it won't be able to be strong enough to inhibit it. So there's these many types of genes that can be measured and testing the cancer cells to predict and using that information, because like pretty much they are saying, well, FOLFIRINOX or GEMSAR Abraxane, which one are we going to use? And it's based on how a person's feeling and how active they are. But they're very comparable in their overall response rates. I say we do some tests first and then pick the regimen and go from there. Okay, I got to take a break right now. When I get back, I'm going to talk about ways to support the chemotherapy, make it work better, and to reduce side effects. This is Cancer Concepts and Compliments.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Step by step, you made it through the journey of pregnancy. Now your baby is in your arms and you're on the cusp of a new journey, breastfeeding. As a new parent, you receive a lot of advice, much of it conflicting, some of it outdated. Tune into Born to be Breastfed with host Marie Biancuso. To bust through the myths about feeding your baby, Marie and her guests will help you figure out what you can expect and put you on the best and surest path on your breastfeeding journey. Listen every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
RGCC is a pioneering biotech and contract research organization enterprise which specializes in the field of molecular and cellular genetics. The total activities of RGCC can be divided into two main sectors: the clinical services, such as detection and immunophenotyping of circulating tumor cells, and chemosensitivity, chemoresistant testing based in microarray technology, which is addressed mainly to oncologists and cancer hospitals, and the research and development services in drug development.
How many times have you heard this?
I'm sick and tired of feeling sick and tired.
You are what you eat.
I've tried every diet.
Diets don't work.
It's time to stop this kind of madness and start thinking and feeling empowered to change your health. Tune in to The Raw Truth with Chef Sharon Fraser.
Join us weekly for thought-provoking conversations with world-renowned experts in the food, medical, holistic, sports medicine, chiropractic, and naturopathic health sciences. The Raw Truth airs live every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Cancer Concepts and Compliments with Dr. James Belanger. The information presented herein is in no way intended as a substitute for medical counseling. If you would like to find out more about the Lexington Natural Health Center, please visit LexingtonNaturalHealth.com. That's LexingtonNaturalHealth.com. Now, back to this week's program.
Hello, welcome back to Cancer Concepts and Compliments. I'm your host, Dr. James Belanger from the Lexington Natural Health Center. Before the break, we were talking about a test called the chemosensitivity profile that's available at many labs. One of the labs is called RGCC in Greece, where they take and test your cancer to see if it's sensitive to chemotherapy and which chemotherapy drugs. And then you can use that to help pick the right regimen for you so you're started off on the most effective drug and not one that's not going to work very good for you. And there has been some research done elsewhere, like Sloan Kettering I mentioned. Doctors often don't talk about these tests, but that's because they need certainly more research and they're not FDA approved right now. But like I said, when it comes down to picking a drug regimen, they're like, okay, well, let's try this one because it works a lot of times, or we could try this one. There's choices. There's two main drug regimens, and it can't hurt to get a test whether there's a ton of research on it or not. I have found it to be very useful and very predictive, and starting off with that information, because they are very comparable if you look at the research on those two drug regimens. Another thing, too, that this RGCC does that can be really helpful is many chemotherapy drugs are what's called prodrugs. For example, I mentioned this drug irinotecan. It is found in the FOLFIRINOX regimen, and it has to be activated into something called CES. And CES SN38 is the active form of it, and it's activated by this enzyme called CES. And if some people aren't activating that well, then that irinotecan drug won't work very well. So they'll measure that in the RGCC test. Same thing with 5-FU. 5-FU has to be activated in order to be active in the system. And there's an enzyme called DPD that is necessary for that. Patients that don't have that to activate the 5-FU, if the cancer is not doing that, then the 5-FU won't work as well. So it's another thing that can be measured to predict, do we pick irinotecan, 5-FU regimen, or do we pick a gemcitabine, Abraxane regimen? Getting more information sometimes better than having none. Okay, so now let's talk about the individual chemotherapy drugs. Gemcitabine could be a major drug used to treat metastatic pancreatic cancer. Like I said, it's usually combined with another drug called Abraxane. But even that, the one-year survival, is often 40-something percent, so it doesn't help everybody. And then after 3 years, it doesn't work anymore, and patients often pass away. So we need to improve on that. And they know a lot about how cancer becomes resistant to gemcitabine. And one of the things that happens is there's this really common mutation found in pancreatic cancer. From the start, over 85%, if not 100% of all patients that have pancreatic cancer have this mutation in this substance that we all have in our cells called KRAS. KRAS it's called a second messenger in the body. And it basically signals replication of DNA. So it's like a set of dominoes. It's like one domino, and it triggers a bunch of other dominoes to fall, and that last domino leads to growth of a cell. And if as long as those dominoes are standing upright, nothing's going to happen. But KRAS, when it's mutated, allows the dominoes to continue to fall and the cells to continually replicate, and that leads to uncontrolled cancer growth. And so when this KRAS is mutated, it often turns on something else called AKT. It's another domino down the line, and that becomes activated. And high levels of activated AKT can activate something else, another domino down the line, called NF-kappa-B. And when that NF-kappa-B gets activated, it can lead to resistance to many things, including gemcitabine and the Abraxane drug. So there's been a lot of work being dedicated. Well, can we use some things that inhibit this AKT, stop that domino from falling, shall we say? Things that would inhibit that NF-kappa-B, stop that thing. And if we do that, then the cells can't replicate as much to try to overcome the chemotherapy. Well, so there's been, you know, many natural things. One is something found in soybean. There's a chemical found in soybean called genistein. And it's, you know, found in all kinds of soy products, from miso soup to tempeh to soy milk. And they've studied that at MD Anderson, actually. And one of the studies was done, published in Cancer Research in 2005. And it's an animal study where they took groups of animals and they give them pancreatic cancer and they let the cancer grow for a while. And they have a control group where they don't give them any treatment, and they measure how much it grows. And then they did a group where they gave them genistein, just pure genistein. They didn't give them tofu or anything. They gave them a purified compound from soybean, which they think is one of the active compounds in the soybean called genistein. And they gave an equivalent of amount of like 1,500 milligrams, a human dose, which is way higher than you would get out of eating tofu or miso soup. So this would be like a pharmacological dose of that. And they gave that for just about like 10 days is all. And then they gave another group Gemzar, the gemcitabine drug it's also called. And then they gave a group gemcitabine and the genistein together. Well, when they used the combination of the soy product, the genistein, with the gemcitabine, there was a 75% reduction in the cancer. And that was just after 13 days, 75%. Whereas gemcitabine by itself, 27% reduction. So it greatly enhanced that. And its mechanism of action was it inhibited that thing called AKT and this other thing called NF-kappa-B that leads to resistance. They did do a human study on it, but unfortunately they did not use purified genistein. They used just a soy, they call it isoflavone, that has a mixture of genistein and something else in it called diazine. Didn't give very much of it. It didn't add any benefit to this drug called erlotinib that they studied it with. But unfortunately, that's where it's at. There's no more human studies. And the human study that was done, they didn't even use a good enough dose. Genistein is a compound found in soy. And what's interesting is when you eat, say, a soy product, in the soy product, it's called genistein. And it goes into our gut, and the bacteria convert it into something called genistein. And healthy bacteria, if you don't have enough healthy bacteria, you know, the acidophilus and that kind of stuff, you're not going to activate the genistein in your gut. Fermented soy products already have something called genistein in it. And those are miso soup, fermented soybean, or tempeh will have more genistein in it. But tofu, soy milk are not fermented. You have to wait for your gut bacteria to convert it. So there's some issue there. But this was done on purified genistein, this animal study. So that's what the human study needs to be conducted on to see. But some really encouraging data there. So another thing that leads to resistance to gemcitabine is this NF-kappa-B activation. Think of this as it's a molecule produced in response to stress. So stress, when the cancer is getting stressed by the chemo. So the cancer is seeing this chemo come in and getting attacked by the chemo, and as a result produces this defense mechanism, you could call it, called NF-kappa-B. And so that will become activated the more the cancer gets exposed to chemo, when it's getting threatened by the chemo. And it does a whole bunch of things, this NF-kappa-B. It activates a bunch of other dominoes that lead to basically more rapid cell division, so the cancer cell starts to divide more rapidly. It will inhibit the death of the cancer cells to stop them from dying in response to the chemotherapy. It will induce blood vessel growth in the cancers. It will make them become more invasive. So there's some research showing that patients, if they have a lot of chemo and they're starting to get sick and they need a break, they've done studies where they go in, they take a look at the cancer, and they'll find these, you know, they call them stem cells in the tumors that have a high proliferation rate, where they're rapidly dividing and everything. And sometimes taking a break helps stop that, because the cancer cells aren't feeling, should we say, as threatened, and they will calm down and not produce some of these reactive compounds. So, you know, that's an interesting finding. Sometimes it's useful to take a break. And then sometimes when you go back to the same chemo regimen, they respond to it again. So it is fine to take breaks sometimes if a person's having too many side effects. It might not it might even improve their outcome later, because then it gives them more mileage, shall we say, on that same drug regimen and calms down the cancer a bit. So it's kind of a tough thing. It's like the chemo does kill a bunch of cancer cells, but those that it doesn't sometimes get turned on. So if there's a way to stop them from getting more activated, then we want to do that. And so more things need to be dedicated on inhibiting this NF-kappa-B. But one of those things is genistein. Another thing that's been studied is something found in turmeric called curcumin. Again, MD Anderson doing research on this. They will come up a lot in this discussion, doing a lot of research on natural compounds, which is great. Again, mostly animal studies. More money needs to be dedicated on human studies for this. But curcumin is a compound found in turmeric, and they did the same kind of plan where they gave animals pancreatic cancer, and then they gave a group just to control. They gave them olive oil, and then they gave another group of animals curcumin, and they used almost 10 grams of a human equivalent, 10 grams or so, and they gave that. And then they gave Gemzar in another group, and then they gave a combination of this Gemzar gemcitabine drug with the curcumin. And then after 31 days, they measured the tumor volume, and they were half the size in the group given the curcumin with the Gemzar versus Gemzar alone. And when they looked at the cancer cells, they weren't replicating as quickly. So it reduced their replication level, and it reduced the levels of blood vessels. And it decreased this NF-kappa-B, the thing that becomes activated, that makes the cancer become resistant to the chemo, that makes the cancer become more invasive and more aggressive and stuff. So that's really interesting stuff. Now, they have done a human study where they tried to start off a phase one where they're checking toxicity and stuff. And they gave such a big dose of curcumin all at once that people had all this stomach upset from it, and like ulcers, and they had to stop the trial. See, curcumin is good, but you can only take a small amount of it, and you have to take small, frequent doses of it. So that's how I would create a human study, is give small, frequent doses of curcumin, and with food. They gave it on an empty stomach, 4,000 milligrams of curcumin all at once, and I've never been able to get more than 2,000 milligrams into my patients at once, even with food. Another thing that needs to be done is they need to, there's all kinds of new types of curcumin coming out on the market that are supposedly more absorbable than another type, and it might help improve results so that you can get more curcumin into a person's body without taking as high of a dose as the one that they used in the animal study. The one in the animal study was what's called a C3 complex curcumin, but they have all these other ones now, have different names, Mariva and Theracumin and BCM95, and improvements on curcumin to make it more absorbable. That's what needs to be dedicated for more human studies. There's something that a natural compound that has also been studied to help make gemcitabine work better that contains curcumin, among other natural compounds. It's called Zyflamed, and it's being marketed by a company called New Chapter. But it has all kinds of data on it, for prostate cancer, but it's been studied for pancreatic cancer, and it's a combination of turmeric. That's one of its main ingredients. 14% of it is turmeric, but its main ingredient is rosemary, 19% rosemary, And then it's got holy basil, it's got green tea, it's got ginger, it's got oregano, a lot of, you know, culinary spices in there. And then it's got this herb called polygonum or huzong, which is a herb that contains a substance that a lot of people might know about called resveratrol, which has been studied. So some of these things actually have been studied by themselves. Turmeric has been studied, green tea has been studied by itself, and resveratrol, and they all have activity against pancreatic cancer. Well, this Zyphomed combines them all. So they, again, it was an animal study where they took that and they gave that to animals, and then they combined it with the gemcitabine or just Zyphomed alone in a control, and they did this for 4 weeks after tumor implantation. Tumors were half the size of the control group in the Zyphomed and gemcitabine group. And when they combined the Zyphomed with the gemcitabine, they were 1/9 the size of the control. So this one really enhanced the effectiveness of that chemotherapy, better than genistein did in that other trial and that curcumin did by itself. So there might be some synergy happening between all these things. But one thing to get in, keep in mind is the dose that they used in this particular trial was a human equivalent of 7 grams, which if you calculate, it's about 18 pills of this Zyphomed, 18 pills. If you, you know, go and get a bottle of this stuff, you know, they might recommend a couple pills a day. And that's not what they used in this animal study. You know, dose is very important. Dose on anything from an antibiotic to a natural substance. If you only take a couple pills a day, you're not going to get much curcumin or turmeric. You're not going to get much of that rosemary, that green tea, whatever those active things are in there that might inhibit. So that's what should be studied for a human study is equivalent of what they gave these animals, because that's important. And it was given orally too, which is encouraging. Sometimes the animal studies, they're injecting it into the animal, and oral might not work the same. But this was an oral study, very impressive results, but it was a very high dose of that. I use high doses of green tea all the time, and this resveratrol compound and curcumin, I find it very well tolerated. So especially when given with food in divided doses. Okay, I'm going to take another break. When I get back, we're going to talk about resveratrol. This is Cancer Concepts and Compliments.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Are you struggling with loss in your life? Whether it's grief, personal healing, or serious life changers that you are dealing with, tune in to Voices for Healing with host Kathy Roberts. Everything that happens to us teaches us and gives us hope and possibility. Kathy and her guest experts will bring you the tools that you need to start the healing process. There are so many ways to transform loss. Where can we take you? Listen every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. RGCC is a pioneering biotech and contract research organization enterprise, which specializes in the field of molecular and cellular genetics. The total activities of RGCC can be divided into two main sectors: the clinical services, such as detection and immunophenotyping of circulating tumor cells, and chemosensitivity, chemoresistant testing based in microarray technology, which is addressed mainly to oncologists and cancer hospitals, and the research and development services in drug development. Have you thought about chiropractic as a possible healing mechanism for any conditions, ailments, or pain you might be feeling? If not, why not think about this as an alternative to or a complement to Western medicine? Tune in to Miracles of Chiropractic with Dr. Doran Rosenfeld and co-host Dr. Robert Woolery. On the show, we'll answer your questions about chiropractic and how much it can save in both time and money when compared to conventional medicine. Listen Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
This is Cancer Concepts and Compliments with Dr. James Belanger. The information presented herein is in no way intended as a substitute for medical counseling. If you would like to find out more about the Lexington Natural Health Center, please visit LexingtonNaturalHealth.com. That's LexingtonNaturalHealth.com. Now, back to this week's program.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Cancer Concepts and Compliments. I'm your host, Dr. James Belanger. So let's continue our discussion about natural medicines that might enhance chemotherapy. So we've talked about curcumin, Zyflamed, genistein, and there's many others. So let's switch gears to a different chemotherapy, oxaliplatin. Oxaliplatin is another primary drug given to treat pancreatic cancer in that regimen called FOLFIRINOX. Well, there has been some studies done at the Wayne State University in Detroit, Michigan, where they used degenistine, the same thing that was studied with gemcitabine, and it was found to also improve the responsiveness of pancreatic cancer to oxaliplatin. They combined genistein with oxaliplatin versus genistein or oxaliplatin alone, and the cancer was half the size. And they used a pretty large dose. Like that other study, it was like 1,500 milligrams, human equivalent of genistein. This one was like over 1,100 milligrams or so, given orally. So genistein does have an effect, but it does take a pretty high dose. But oxaliplatin is rarely given alone with pancreatic cancer. It's often combined with this irinotecan drug and this other drug called 5-FU. Well, genistein has been studied with irinotecan, and it actually decreases some of the side effects of irinotecan while still making it work better. Irinotecan, one of its side effects is it causes diarrhea. And genistein in animal models was shown to inhibit the diarrhea-provoking effects of irinotecan, so a nice added plus. And it's also been shown to make 5-FU work better, that 5-4-uracil that has been combined with the oxaliplatin. So genistein would be a very interesting natural compound to study with FOLFIRINOX, a human study, to see if it can get some better mileage out of that drug regimen, and also with that gemcitabine drug. Curcumin, another one also being studied with oxaliplatin, but unfortunately it has not been studied with pancreatic cancer. It has been studied with colon cancer. So it was shown to make colon cancer more receptive to oxaliplatin. And the drug, they're pretty, they're both gastrointestinal related cancers, so I'm sure it's probably produced the same type of effect. But has not so far been studied with pancreatic cancer and oxaliplatin, but colon cancer and oxaliplatin. So curcumin and genistein might be useful things to study to see if they will make FOLFIRINOX work better. Okay, now I got to talk about side effects. FOLFIRINOX can cause a low neutrophil count. It can knock down your white cell count more so than that gemcitabine Abraxane thing, and that can be pretty severe. There's a natural compound found in this plant called berberis. Berberis is a plant, like, for example, there's one called Oregon grape. That's a berberis species. It contains this compound called berbamine. And berbamine has been studied in people and published in the journal Phytomedicine, 1991, showing that it can help prevent chemotherapy or radiation-induced inhibition of the neutrophils. So it can help support the neutrophils to help it keep a person on schedule. And what's interesting, it has also been studied to make gemcitabine work better as well. So it's been studied for pancreatic cancer in animal studies and test tube studies, but in human people to help with the neutrophils. Other things you can get is, I mentioned diarrhea, and that is from the irinotecan part. Sometimes the 5-FU, genistein, is useful for that. But the biggest thing that often takes a person off of the FOLFIRINOX regimen is the neuropathy, numbness, tingling, pain in the fingers and toes. It damages the nerves, and even stopping it for a while or reducing the dose, the neuropathy continues. And if the drug regimen is working and you have to stop, that's a lousy thing. There's very few drugs that really help. They have some drugs that might inhibit the pain and inhibit the sensation of it. But there's really nothing that protects the nerves and keeps them from getting affected by this. Well, there is a natural compound of some Chinese herbs called Gosha Jinikan that combines herbs like something called Romania and Alisma, Dioscorea. It's been studied, human studies, cancer, chemotherapy, pharmacology, 2013, to reduce the incidences of the neuropathy. So, and it was not shown to interfere with oxaliplatin or 5-FU. So that's an encouraging thing to help some people. And there's human studies and it didn't interfere. That's always a concern. The other one that has been studied with at least oxaliplatin-induced neuropathy is acetyl L-carnitine. It's just a natural compound. It's found in our body, but it gets depleted with oxaliplatin, and it's needed to help the nerves repair, the nerve growth factors, they're called. So some researchers have tested it and found that it's useful to stop or reduce at least the incidence of oxaliplatin-induced neuropathy. It's called acetyl-L-carnitine. They published it in Anti-Cancer Research in 2005. Gemzar and Abraxane can also cause neuropathy, but usually a dose reduction, then they can often have, it's not too bad, and it tends to get improved with breaks, whereas the oxaliplatin is worse. But the same things could apply for gemcitabine and Abraxane-induced neuropathies. There are some natural agents that on their own can induce cell death of the pancreatic cancer cells. And another interesting thing about that grease test, the RGCC lab, is they will actually test natural compounds too in addition to the chemotherapy drugs. So they take cancer cells out of the blood, they grow them in the lab, and then they incubate them with all kinds of natural things, from green tea to curcumin, to see which things, natural compounds, actually can directly induce cell death of the cancer cells. And they test 50 different things, and they'll often even test other things if you want to have tested, as long as they have it in stock, a stock of it. But there's been a whole host of natural things given, even without chemotherapy, in animals, given orally. Animals with pancreatic cancer, they measure tumor growth compared to control that have helped. We don't have a lot of time to talk about every single one of them, but one of them is green tea. Green tea has been shown to affect all kinds of pathways that are found in pancreatic cancer that leads to growth. And there's a compound found in green tea. It's called EGCG. This is a substance found in green tea that they think is the active compound, and they have purified forms of this. You can certainly drink it, but you're not going to get that much. You know, this is a pharmacological dose of EGCG from green tea. And, you know, they gave this to animals with pancreatic cancer compared to a control. 1/4 of the size the tumors were after 28 days. 1/4 of the size. And it inhibits all kinds of pathways, and it causes cell death, inhibits blood vessels. So really encouraging stuff. Then there's this herb called Pau Pereira, where they studied this at the University of Kansas Medical Center. Oncology Reports 2013 gave this to animals and versus a control and to see what would happen. And it greatly inhibited the cancer as well, led to cell death, 70% reduction in cancer growth. And then there's an herb called graviola. Now, this one's really interesting because it affects the like energy of the cancer. So the cancer cell, in order to replicate, it uses a lot of ATP, which is like energy. And this graviola, which is an herb, it takes away the energy source from the cancer. So it works in a different way than chemotherapy does. It doesn't create DNA damage or interfere with DNA replication, but it's inhibits the energetics of the cancer cell, which is a different mechanism, which is interesting. It takes away like glucose, sugar from the cancer and induces that. And it might even affect this protein that is responsible for creating like this, they call it this a stroma, a barrier around the cancer that keeps the chemotherapy out. That it might reduce the expression of some of the stroma proteins that surround the cancer that keep chemo from penetrating. Another one that everybody's going to like, this one, chocolate. Chocolate inhibits pancreatic cancer growth in animals. Now, there's something in the cacao bean called polyphenols that they took a highly potent cacao that had a certain amount of these polyphenols in it. They gave it to animals that had pancreatic cancer. After 6 weeks, measured tumor weight, tumor volume. Tumor weight was 1/5 the size of the control. And what was very interesting about this is it interfered with something called KRAS, which I mentioned. 85% or more of patients with pancreatic cancer have a mutated form of KRAS, which allows it to stay in its active form, where I mentioned as a domino, it allows it to stay on, leading to constant cellular replication. And they so far have not found a good drug target for KRAS. I guess there's some problems finding a drug target, but cacao or the cocoa bean affects that. But it comes down to these polyphenols. So they used an equivalent of 240 milligrams of this polyphenols. And so you want to make sure that if you had some chocolate, it had a lot of that. But there's a company called Consumer Lab that they check products. They take products off the shelf. They measure things. And they just did one on cacao and taking a look at how many of these bioflavonoid compounds, these polyphenols, are found. And the one that they found the highest was, it's called Resveraj Cocoa Well Powder. Resveraj Cocoa Well Powder had the highest amounts. Some of them didn't have hardly any of it. So it's not like any old chocolate's going to work. This was one that had a high amount of polyphenols, they're called. So that's really interesting. Now, lastly, before we have to end the show, I want to talk about blood tests. I do a lot of blood tests to help determine that I'm going the right direction with patients and not the wrong direction. You know, a lot of doctors just do scans, and they do there's a tumor marker called the CA19-9 for pancreatic cancer that can help determine if you're going the right direction. But there's a lot that you can measure besides the CA19-9 in the blood to see if the cancer is responding well or not. And many of them are called, they call them serum cytokines. And they have different names. One of them is called interleukin 6 and interleukin 10 and interleukin 8. Well, there's been a bunch of studies done, and one of the studies was done at MD Anderson, published in the journal Cancer 2004, where they measured these things called interleukins in the blood of patients with pancreatic cancer and compared it to healthy controls. And they measured interleukin 6, interleukin 10, interleukin 8, and they found that patients had high levels of interleukin 6 or high levels of interleukin 10 had a worse survival. And the reason for it is interleukin 6 basically activates growth pathways in the cancer. So if the cancer is producing a lot of that, you'll see it in the blood, and it's going to activate growth pathways. And interleukin 10 interferes with the immune system's ability to see and attack the cancer. And so you have high level of that, you might not do as well. Well, the reason why I measure these is because there are natural compounds that can inhibit these things. And there's a human study on a natural, it's a blend of herbs. It's called the, I'm going to butcher this, but King Yi Huaji formula. QYHJ is the acronym for it. And a mixture of something called Kongjak, Hediotis, Scutellaria barbata, and Gymnostemma. Those are the herbs that are in it. But this has been studied in China, given to people with pancreatic cancer, combined with chemotherapy. Now, the study was done, and it was published in China, so this was a study that I could not read. But they mentioned that the three-year survival was 14.1%, and the five-year survival was 8.4% when it was combined with chemotherapy. Well, if you look up the data on FOLFIRINOX or gemcitabine Abraxane, very few people are alive at 3 years, and only 5%, maybe 6 tops, are alive at 5 years. And this is advanced cancer patients, and even early stage, too. That's the overall survival is 4-5%. This one was 8.4%, and they combined this Chinese formula with chemotherapy. So that's really encouraging. And they have done animal studies on this formula, and it inhibits this thing called interleukin 6. And they find that that is a pathway that's often upregulated in patients with pancreatic cancer, leads to growth. So the goal here is to try to stop that pathway from becoming overactive, to allow that chemotherapy to continue to work and not be inhibited. And you can measure that in the blood, give something like this formula, or there are other herbs that can affect interleukin 6, and see if it stays down. Because according to the research, if it's high, it's not a good sign. You can do the same thing with that other thing I mentioned, interleukin 10. Measure that. If that's elevated, it's considered a bad sign. People don't live as long. Do things to lower that. Well, there's something natural. It's a form of vitamin E, actually, called tocotrienols. Tocotrienols. It's found in the bran part of like rice bran. Well, it's a form of vitamin E. It's been studied against pancreatic cancer in animals. It's been shown to make chemotherapy work better, like gemcitabine work better, and it also directly inhibits cancer and inhibits this interleukin 8. Okay, so just to get a sense, we can do some blood tests to help fine-tune the treatment plan, do some tumor testing, and find out what's the best plan for you. Well, next week, I'm going to talk about ovarian cancer. I hope you enjoyed today's show. This is Cancer Concepts and Compliments. I'm your host, Dr. James Bélanger.
Thank you for joining us this week. Cancer Concepts and Compliments with Dr. James Bélanger can be heard live every Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We hope to see you next week for another show.